Hey everybody, this is your boy T-Ray from Hanshin Tigers English News coming at you with a special feature. You know, myself and Zorni, we have been doing these TTT to Taken Torakichi all season long. And for once, we sat down together and actually did this audio style. Well, technically, we typed it all up first, we did it long, slow cooking, and then we sat down and read what we had written. So if you prefer the audio format, this one's for you. I hope you'll enjoy it. Sit back and listen to T-Ray talking to Zorni. So my man, here we are at the end of a shortened but kind of extra long 2020 regular season. The Tigers finished the year 7 games over .500 with a 60-53-7 record, which after a disastrous 2-10 start is not too bad. So in a few words, man, what are your thoughts on the 2020 season?
Yeah, it looked longer than usual, but I'm glad it happened. Overall, this season helped a lot of people to have some joy besides what was going on around them. Although starting super slow and getting hit hard by some critical injuries and COVID cases, this team showed a lot of improvement, and I'm hopeful for next season.
Yeah, man, spoken like a true Tigers fan. Hopeful for next season is the annual cry of the saddest, for sure. But anyways, as I've pointed out in the past, this team is definitely headed for something good. There's a clear trend in our records since the start of the two-league era. In the 50s, we got nothing. In the 60s, we got 2 pennants, but no Nipponichi. In the 70s, we got nothing. In the 80s, we got a Nipponichi. 90s, nothing. 2000s, 2 pennants, but no Nipponichi. And then in the 2010s, nothing again. So every other decade, we get nothing. And every 4 decades, we're getting either 2 pennants or a Nipponichi, which means we're headed for the Nipponichi sometime this decade, bro. Put that one in the bank. It is going to happen.
True story, man. But hey, I do think this team can excel under Yano. We're climbing the ladder each year under his wing, and the next step is to win it all for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have not had this many solid pieces in place, like fielders and starters and stuff, in a long time. You know, if the guys who have solidified their spots in the lineup can step it up even more, just one step further, plus one or two more guys break out, look out, man, this team is going to be really strong.
And by solid, I mean stepping up on the defense big time. We really need to become better in this regard, I think. Yeah. Offense has already improved and it can be better, but we cannot be the number one team when it comes to errors, man.
No, for sure. I hear you. Well, hey, we'll talk about that a little bit later, I'm sure. Maybe. All right, man. Well, let's get to the purpose of this episode. We're handing out some hardware to various players for their accomplishments, and maybe we'll hand out a few steaming turds to the guys that we think need to step up or ship out in 2021. So let's start, man, with your hitter of the year. Who you got for us?
Okay, my hitter most certainly is Oyama. He's our home run king and has fought until the end of for the Central home run title. He still needs to work on his approach at the plate, but despite that, he's my hitter of the year.
Well, then it's unanimous. Obviously, you know, when a guy starts the year on the bench but still swats double the homers that he did in the previous year, which also led the team, all the while improving his average and even his defense, you have to be impressed. So it took me a while to come around on him, as you know, but you're right. His approach at the plate needs work at times, but even I see growth in his first pitch swing thing because he's selective about when he does it. I mean, technically speaking, he went 23 for 62 when the count was 0-0, so on that first pitch. So that's 371. He hit 5 home runs on that first pitch as well. So we can't totally fault him there, I guess.
And let it be known that he accomplished that in less than 120 games, as said previously, which is really impressive. I wonder how it's going to be next year in a full 143-game season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. And just for everybody's reference, check out his line on the website. Plus, there's a video there as well if you're interested. So you can check that out on the actual H10 site. Okay, let's move on to starting pitcher of the year. Who you got?
I got Nishi. He has proven more and more that he's most definitely our most reliable starting pitcher. He and Umeno make the perfect battery, and you can tell that they have built a pretty good chemistry, which reflects on the outcomes of the outings.
Yeah, he gave up quite a few home runs this year, which was kind of alarming, but there's little to no doubt as to who our opening day pitcher will be in 2021. And yeah, his last name is Nishi. Definitely. The thing is, we have four solid starters now, man. Nishi, Aoyagi, Akiyama, Takahashi, that we can pencil in for next season. And that doesn't even include a certain tall, lanky guy who will win one of the awards below, no doubt.
You have a point there that needs our attention for sure. This year was very atypical when it comes to giving up homers, and it really made a difference in close games. Regardless, he's our ace and 2021 opening day starting pitcher, without a doubt.
Yep. He posted a career-best ERA and was in the race for best ERA in the CL until his final start of the year, which was pretty awful. Just the same, his line, which you can see on the site again, tells you all you need to know. He's good, real good. And we're so glad that he signed with us in the 2018 offseason. All right, man, who you got for your reliever of the year?
This one is going to be a hard one because I have two names on my sleeve. And to me, they were all really impressive. But after further consideration, I have to say that Suarez is my reliever of the year. He had some rough outings at the beginning, but he was able to adjust and never look back. He was that good this year that he even caught the attention of a few MLB teams.
Yeah, there was a crazy stretch in there that he was unhittable. And as much as I want to agree with you here, like, we've been together on all of our choices so far, so we got to divide a bit. I'm going to go with Suguru Iwazaki, who went 18 games without giving up a run and ended up with an ERA of under 2, despite being the one to give up that crippling home run in game 1. He's often overlooked in the bullpen, and without Kyuji and Nomi next year, I think he kind of takes on a bit of a veteran role moving forward.
Yeah, I don't blame you for picking up Iwazaki, because that was my second choice, hands down. I agree with you when it comes to being overlooked, because he definitely is. It doesn't matter the situation, if it's a jam or if we need a guy to eat some innings. But when you need a reliable reliever, your guy's Iwazaki.
You know, if both of these guys come back in 2021, then 2/3 of the new JFK is in place. It'll be blank IS. So you can check out their numbers on the site as well. We're going to be posting them there. Unbelievable how well these two guys did. Okay, man, here comes the next category. And let me tell you, it's a tough one. Defender of the year.
Okay, I think we should skip this one, T-Ray, maybe.
Yeah, I got no one for you. Okay, let's move on. Surprise of the year. Surprise player of the year. Who you got for us for surprise?
All right, you remember when we mentioned, when you mentioned a certain tall, lanky guy while discussing Nishi?
Yep.
Well, by now you probably know who you're talking about, right? If you thought about a name that starts with the letter A, letter F, and ends with Ujinami, you're right. So you have an idea of how big of a surprise this guy was. Imagine every single time that he would show up, Koshien would go crazy. Not just that, but every time he would pitch, you could expect something around like 100 miles per hour or more on the gun. And guess what? We have a lot of control to it. If you're not surprised by that, I don't know what else will surprise you.
I mean, how good was Shin-chan after that Corona call-up on September 25th? Well, let me tell you, 30 1/3 innings pitched, 21 hits against, 17 walks, which is, I mean, that's about average for Fujinami. But here's the good one right here. No guys hit, no HBPs, only 4 earned runs against and 37 strikeouts for an ERA of 1.19, bro.
Yeah, just sensational. For a moment, I even forgot that Corona incident and all that the rumors prior to that.
Yeah, but well, okay, thanks to you for giving Shin-chan the award. I'm going to actually throw you and everybody else a curveball. You know who I'm giving it to? Kosuke Baba, of all people. And the reason is this. I had zero expectations for this guy coming into the season, and he came in and filled a void in the bullpen. You know, he gave us all heart attacks. He was part of the biohazard crew for me, but he managed to shut the door down enough to be able to stay in the bullpen for much of the season. And that gives us one more bullpen weapon next season. Or maybe, you know, he might even be in the rotation if he surprises us again next year. And that's never a bad thing to have that extra arm. You see, I always kind of had high expectations and hopes and dreams and fantasies of Shin-chan turning things around. And I'm so glad he did. So his dominance surprised me, but I think Baba shocked me completely, even more than Fujinami. Okay. On the flip side of that, who's your disappointing player of the year? Who's the biggest letdown?
Okay, this guy next was a huge letdown to me. Probably Sato would be the answer in right field. So if you're thinking about Itoi, you're right. I don't even know where to start. It's almost like he doesn't want to be there anymore. No energy, not focused, completely lost. I expected so much from him. And all I can say is that I'm pretty disappointed based on his performances from previous years.
It's pretty easy to pick on Itoi. And honestly, like, I wouldn't care if he wasn't coming back next year. And I would have chosen him here if you hadn't. But again, there's so many guys that we could choose in this area. And not to be too negative or anything like that, but two guys here made me stop and wonder, like, do you guys even want to keep playing into your 30s? Because you sure aren't showing hunger despite your potential. Those two guys are Fumiya Hojo and Shun Takayama, who need to do better with the chances that they've been given. Both these guys are heading into their primes, like 26, 27 years old, 28 years old even. And they're just not getting her done. And, you know, Takayama was rookie of the year. Now he's nothing. I also have a pitcher that I wonder what happened to, but since Mochizuki is quite young and really hasn't proven himself, so it's hard to say he's disappointed, I'll give him some slack. So for me, it's Hojo and Takayama.
Yeah, I would say Takayama is much more of a letdown than Hojo, because back in 2016, Takayama was considered our prospect of the future. Yep. So much hype on the guy. He was in every magazine cover. Hojo never got to that level, I think. We had expectations since Toritani was stepping down, but Danny Tohara came right after and kind of raised that level of concern if he would really step up to be our next shortstop. By the way, should we even talk about Egoshi?
Well, to me, Egoshi is the kind of player I dream about breaking out. I've always had these, you know, fantasies about him as well, but he's never really done much beyond that one magical month. You remember it at the start of the 2016 season. Yeah, but all of these guys' days are numbered moving forward, man, including Egoshi and Hojo and Takayama as well. Because, you know, a lot of guys younger than them are showing more promise, getting more playing time as it is. And we keep on drafting younger guys too. So they've got more guys that they have to outperform if they want to get that playing time. And speaking of getting more playing time, let's talk about the farm boy of the year, the one that you can't wait to see up on the top squad for good someday.
Okay, there's no other guy that gets me more excited to get called up than Junya Nishi. I used to love to watch him pitch at the Koshien tournament and just cannot wait to see him in action for the Ichigo.
All right, cool. I'm going to go for, he was the number one draft pick in 2019. I'm going for the number two draft pick, and that would be Kid Wonder Kota Inoue, who hit 9 home runs in his first season on the farm as an 18-year-old. I mean, the kid is still just a kid. But he definitely gives me hope of an unbelievable talent on this team in years to come. Imagine him and Oyama in the cleanup roles, in the cleanup slots. This team is going to be fearsome for opponents' pitchers for sure.
And you know what? I know you're not alone in this. From what I've seen based on the card market, his signed rookie card can get to 98,000 yen easy. Jeez. You know it? Inoue has been the most hyped player on the farm. If there's one guy that people want to see more than anything at Nishinomiya, this guy is Inoue.
Honestly, man, the farm boys' numbers on the whole were pretty lame this year, with the team finishing comfortably in last place and there being few signs of power or speed. So, yeah, this one was a pretty easy decision. I think we picked, you know, the most exciting pitcher and hitter. Okay, now we're getting into a bit of a painful part here. I can't believe they cut this guy. Who you got?
Justin Bour, man. It kills me to see the guy go. I mean, yeah. Still uncertain if he really got the knife, but if he doesn't come back, it will only prove that Hanshin management hasn't learned its lesson.
They haven't, man. This one really hurts. To me, there's no explanation beyond the business side of things. Year two of his contract was a club option, and with how big of a hit the company took during the pandemic, and reports say that it was like a $1 billion. Is that right? $1 billion swing. Yeah, 78 billion yen profit in 2019, 23 billion yen loss in 2020. So that's a big hit. So they're going to have to cut corners by dropping all the big ticket items. And we see that with some of the veterans that they might have otherwise kept on, like Fukudome and Nomi, that they just kind of said, sorry, we're letting you go. But I'm hoping they go in a different direction. Or pardon me, I'm going to go in a different direction than you did. And I'm going to say Yenqing Liu. I can't believe they dropped him. He's shown growth in each of his 3 seasons on the farm. We need left-handed pitchers. He's still just 24 years old and he doesn't cost much cash. So why did they let him go, man? I don't get it.
Yeah, so I also don't get it. The only thing that makes sense to me is the production against value comparison. He's the guy that is expected to show way more power than has actually shown. And by that, I understand, based on the business side, that maybe they've seen enough. I don't think it's fair, though, since it was a tough year to get adapted to a new environment and deal with a lot of crap on and off the field. Fans love him, and we all know that he can deliver. So why not give him another chance?
Yeah, we're talking about Bohr here. Definitely agree with you, man. I mean, who are we expecting to get to replace him? Are we really going to find somebody? Are they content to roll with Marte and Sands? Like, I don't want to diss either of these guys because I actually like both of them. But Sands hit just one home run between September 12th and November 11th. And his average and his defense in that stretch were not pretty either. Marte committed four errors in one game, man. Plus, his OPS and his average are barely higher than Bohr's. So as far as like at-bats, plate appearances, pardon me, per home run, Marte was about 30-1. One home run for every 30 plate appearances. Bohr was one for every 22 plate appearances. And just for the record, Sands was right about the same, one for every 23 plate appearances. Okay, now on the flip side of that, I can't believe that they held on to this guy, man. What are they thinking? Who you got for us here?
Okay, why is Shunsuke still getting called up? That's the question. I mean, from all the guys on the farm, that's the one you're going to call? Why?
Yeah.
Someone please explain to me and try to change my mind. To me, he should have gone along with Hayata Ito.
Yeah, he should be getting the boot, man. I have never been in Shunsuke's corner, so I'm totally with you on this choice. But I'm going to go and pick on a couple more guys here. One of them is part two of the Biohazard boys, and that's Kazuo Ito. 30 years old, he'll be 31 this offseason. He's still never thrown more than 15 games in a single season as a reliever on the top squad. And the second one is Fumiya Araki, who's like 32 years old. You know, he fits the mold of so many guys younger than him right now. Small, fast, can play defense, can't hit the ball out of the Koshien dirt infield. What are we doing with this guy? He's not going to get any faster. We've got Kumagai, Ueda, Obata, and now we've drafted Nakano and Takatera. They all fit that exact same bill. They're all infielders. We don't need Araki anymore, man.
Yeah, I remember people having high hopes on Araki, but in the end, it never really cut. As you said, the guy was known for his speed, and every year, he's only getting older. There's tons of guys that are just like him, but younger. Why keep him? It's sad, but that's how it is.
Yeah, I remember him hitting a home run off of Messenger in an inter-squad game in spring of 2015. I was like, whoa, this guy's got power. I like it. I was still pretty new to the team, so I didn't know anything about him. And then that season, I think he had like a five-hit game against the Eagles during Interleague, and he was the hero along with Fukudome. And I was like, man, this guy, he's going places. I made his player profile on H10, and after that, he literally did nothing, man. Okay, now we're on to some positive memories. The game of the year, the one you're never going to forget from 2020.
This has to be one of the toughest awards since we have to choose only one game among 120. But this year, we had something that is so rare that I just couldn't ignore it. Last year, our offense really lacked power, to say the least. But with the acquisition of Sands and Bohr to the lineup, this ongoing problem definitely changed. And we could see that on this very specific game, not just one grand slam was hit, but two. We barely could score with runners in scoring position. In the previous season. But this time, we managed to score 8 in only 2 hits. How rare is that? Unbelievable display of power by our offense.
Yeah, you're talking about the 20-5 smashing of Yakult back on July the 28th, right? Yeah, man, that was a crazy good game. Got me pretty excited for what this team was about to do. But in some ways, that was kind of the peak of the season. We started 2-10, and with this game, our record went up to 16-14-1. And if I'm not mistaken, we stayed between 500 and 4 games over 500 for much of the rest of the season. Well, anyways, for me, I have to be honest, the losses stung a lot this year. Opening day against the Giants, QG getting walked off the next week against the Swallows, and then Garcia and his friends blowing the 7-0 lead against the Bay Stars and us having to settle for a tie. I was gutted after those games, bro. Those games among others.
Yeah, they sure did, especially during our very first games. That stretch was just abysmal. Really hard to keep to see really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's so much expectation on this team after a pretty good spring camp and exhibition games. But at the end of the day, we all know that these don't count.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, man, that's where my favorite unforgettable game comes from, actually. So we were 1-6 on the year and about to go 1-7. Yamasaki's on the bump for the Bay Stars in the top of the ninth, and we're down a couple runs, one or two runs, I forget. And enter Sands, man. He hits a home run that will stay in my memory for a long time. It was his first of the year. What with him having just been called up that very day. And I got to talk to his wife the next day at church, and I was like, hey, so your man did it. She's like, oh, I didn't see it. I was too nervous and I had the TV turned off. Anyways, let's continue on that. In that same vein, we did our favorite game of the year. What about your favorite home run, man?
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned this game, because my unforgettable homer of the year is in this one. As you just mentioned, we were coming from such a bad stretch that we needed something to lift us up. Jerry Sands comes to the plate and delivers a much-needed two-run bomb of joy relief, you know, that got me believing once again in this team. I remember posting on Twitter that the Tigers fans wouldn't forget this one so easily, and here we are talking about it.
Yep. And me naming that as my game of the year and then another homer as my favorite of the season would be kind of like giving the MVP to a pitcher and then not giving him the Sawamura, right? But here I am. I'm going to do exactly that. So my favorite home run of the year actually is the team's first home run of 2020, and I bet you can name the man who hit it.
You're talking about Nishi, right?
Yep. Bro, no one on the team could get a hit off of Sugano to save their lives in that game on opening day. But Nishi comes, he's pitching an amazing game, and then he leads off the top of the third inning with a no-doubter to deep left. First home run of his career, and man, that would have been a fairy tale story if he had won the game and if we had won the pennant, because that home run and his RBI double later in the game almost single-handedly gave us the W and Sugano a loss. Of course, we know he went for 13 straight wins to start the season. That was his first one, so it wasn't meant to be. But still, Nishi gets the nod from me for home run of the year. All right, man. So now we got to jump into a little bit of fantasy stuff. Let's think who, if you could go back and do the 2020 season over again and cut one of our guys and paste in a guy from another team at the same position, who would you cut and who would you bring in to replace him to make us a better team in 2020?
There was any chance that Hanshin could sign Yanagita to replace Itoi, that would be the perfect case scenario.
Yeah.
He's without a doubt my favorite current player from another team. He's almost the Midas of hits. Not necessarily just homers, but almost everything that he hits is going to be a base hit. Such a beast, man. And I would love to have in our team.
A perfectly valid choice. And I'll admit to you, I had the same idea in mind, but let's stretch this out a little, shall we? So I'm going to go back to the infield. And as much as I hate to do this, Tigers fans, we're cutting Seiya Kinami and we're bringing in Hayato Sakamoto from the Giants. You can send me your hate mail at shut up. You know you want him at he'sastud.com.
Yeah, this one hurts, but it needs to be said. I would go beyond and sign Kikuchi to replace Itohara. But in this case, I would change Itohara to shortstop just because I still believe he can take care of business in that part of the infield.
Interesting thought. So two birds with one stone, a big upgrade on defense. And let's face it, Kikuchi can be pretty clutch at times too, at least against Hanshin he seems to be. Okay, on that same note, what is the biggest gaping problem with this team? So it's the problem of the year award, I guess you could say.
I still think that second base and shortstop are still our most problematic positions. Not so much for the second base, if we consider a healthy Itohara playing the whole time, but we need to find a shortstop. I do think Obata can take the position full time instead of Kinami, but he'll need more playing time, and this is critical if we want to commit less errors, which has been a constant every single year. Only this season, we committed 85 errors throughout like 120 games. That's almost like three quarters of a season. We have an error in every single game. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, the error rate this year is about the same as it was last year, which was also an abomination. You got to address those issues. The way I see it, though, Oyama and Kinami actually improved quite a bit as far as the number of errors. What killed us, man, was the pitchers. Their error total, I don't even know what it is. It was just too high, man, considering, you know, most of them were just errant throws to first. They're paid to throw and they can't throw, right? They had some bad pickoffs at second base as well. But honestly, man, as good as our pitchers are at their main job, they have to tighten up in other areas. And that includes fielding, bunting, and even hitting, for crying out loud. I mean, you know you're going to step up to the plate a few times per start. So why not try to help out your own cause a little?
Sure thing, man. We need to have a much bulkier and reliable starting rotation with pitchers that we can rely on. Not just that, but our mid relievers have to do a better job in keeping us in games. How many games have we lost because of poor relieving? So many close games that could have gone our way if it wasn't for lack of clutchness.
What it comes down to, in my opinion, is this team lacks mental toughness. See, the other problem I want to address is how we play against the Giants year in and year out. So they're like the hot chick in high school who thinks she's too good for everyone else. And we're like the clumsy nerd who's trying so desperately to prove to her that we can play in her league. And we do all the right things when we're around the uglier chicks like Yakult. But then we step up to her and we're all thumbs. We can't field right, we can't pitch right, we can't hit right. You know, we just look so bad in front of her, and I'm tired of it. All right, man, for our final one here. What is this year going to be remembered for? What does it come down to, the event of the year or the theme of the year for the Tigers?
Okay, to me, this year will be remembered by no fans in the stands at the beginning. A poor start, but a good finish. COVID cases, no All-Star game, no interleague. But a lot of homers, a few grand slams, happy hands, and fireballs.
Yeah.
Most importantly, an improvement for Yano as we finish second.
Okay, cool. Well, I boil this year down to Shintaro. So he caught COVID early. Then he was late for practice and got sent down to the farm. Then he had a couple of good starts when he got called up. Then some bad ones. He got refarmed. He got promoted when COVID came back and ravaged the roster. But after that, he was dominant. You see, bad start, decent middle, another slump in the third quarter, but a strong finish, just like our team.
Yeah, this year was his comeback for sure. After such a rough start with this COVID thing and being late at practice and on, he came up big in relief and he got his control back, reaching 100 plus miles per hour every time he would step on the mound. Definitely, Fujinami appearances were the highlight of every game for Tigers fans all over the world.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we would be amiss to leave Kyuji out of this conversation, though. His departure and also that of veterans Fukudome and Nomi, they're going to make this a completely different team in 2021. Kyuji is a total class act, awesome leader, consummate professional, and even more than the other two, he will definitely be missed. His retirement ceremony was something else, wasn't it? So in a way, 2020 is the end of an era. Yano predicted at the start of the season that Kyuji would strike out Yanagita for the Japan Series title, but obviously that's not going to happen now. So it's got to be Mori striking out Sakamoto, Okamoto, Maru. I don't care. All I know is I'm a Hawks fan for the next 2 weeks, and I'm sure you are too. Anyways, as always, man, I could talk to you forever about this team. And what would I do without H-Stan to keep me busy and entertained? Thank you so much for joining me on this ride, friend.
It was a heck of a ride, wasn't it? Wish I could join you at Koshien for the Marine Series this year. But regardless, we were able to watch a fun season with a lot of ups and downs and get to talk about it on these Torakichi episodes. Thanks for having me once again, and I'm already looking for the next ones.
Yeah, we'll be back, everyone, whether you're reading, listening, or not. These pieces allow us to clear our minds of a lot of clutter, and hopefully you're getting something good out of them too. So have a great off-season, everyone. Keep tuned during the break, though, because HSN's got all the news you need to get yourself prepared for 2021.